Lubomir Doruška first began writing about music 7 decades ago, when, during World War II, he produced a clandestine magazine on his greatest passion, jazz. The quintessential American art form was frowned upon by the communists after their 1948 takeover of Czechoslovakia. However, in the relatively liberal 1960s, Mr. Doruška was able to edit music magazines and play a very active role in international jazz organizations. As well as being a music journalist, he's also a renowned translator of American and British writers, and as a young man did many translations with his lifelong friend, the novelist Josef Škvoretský. When I met Lubomír Doruška, who last month turned 88, I first asked him if his interest in Western literature was of a piece with his love of jazz.
Oh, yes, partly, certainly, but I was always interested in literature, all the same. So I translated especially the books by Scott Fitzgerald, and together with Josef Škvoretský, we did the fable by Faulkner. That was really a piece of work, you see, sentences which run over one page, and a lot of terms and a lot of things which we didn't know much about yet. So we did a lot of things like that with Škvoretský at that time.
And you were a kind of tandem team, you translated together?
Yeah, yeah. In quite a funny way, because we got one copy only, and sometimes we did such barbaric acts, really, that we just cut the book in 3 or 4 parts, and each of us took one page for those 50 pages or so, did his own translation and passed it to the partner who worked on it later on, and so on. So the book was really cut by 50 pages, but we managed somehow.
As translators, could you consult with anybody? Say, if you came across a word that you didn't know, how could you find out what it meant?
That was very difficult. You had, especially if it was, if it had some historical background. So you had to find really somebody who lived at that time and who worked in this field at the time. In with a fable Faulkner's, we were lucky enough to find a pilot who really flew those machines in the First World War. And he told us, he helped us with things which we probably couldn't have solved anyway, anyhow. Yeah. Other translations had sometimes more trouble, because our colleagues in Odeon, they translated something which dealt with the stock exchange in the 1930s or so. And there was a lot of technical terms which they didn't understand. And finally, they found a man who was really employed at the Prague Stock Exchange at the time. He accepted them very kindly, yes, and asked them what he could do for them. They told him what they need and gave him some examples of what it was. And I said, well, I'm very sorry. I probably can't help you in this respect. You see, we called all these all these things in German.
Tell us about your relationship with Josef Škvoretský, the writer and, of course, publisher who started 68 Publishers when he left for Canada. When did you first meet?
We met philosophical faculty. We both attended a seminar on American literature. And that was in 1946, when the first stipendists who were sent on grants to America returned back already. So I had a paper on Fitzgerald, Škvoretský on Hemingway. In the discussion, one of these students who returned from U.S. from America, just said in Czech, "Já myslím, že ty papery byly velmi zajímavé." Just to show that he was in America and he knew what a paper is.
You and Škvoretský shared a love of jazz, of course.
Oh, yes, certainly, yes. I tried to finish my studies with a doctor's degree, and I didn't even go for my last document, which enabled me to teach, to become a teacher. Because teachers at that time on gymnasios, on high schools, were sent out of Prague. Yeah. Škvorecký was sent out of Prague, and he spent a few years under very difficult conditions in the northern Bohemia. There was a place in the state publishing house of literature and music where I was employed too, and I wrote what was at that time necessary, a sort of recommendation. So he came to Prague and he got the post, and he was employed in Odeon, where he was early in the center of literary life at that time.
How did you two managed to stay in contact during the years when he was in North America?
I was working in the international section of Supraphon at that time, and I very often could go on business trips abroad. I always found some possibility how to tell him where I'm going to be, and he sent me letters, a poste restante, or perhaps direct to the hotel, but usually I didn't know in which hotel I should be staying. Yeah. But it was a poste restante to the post office, to the main post office, somewhere in Germany or in Belgium or anywhere there. Yeah. And I wrote my letters, well, in the hotels and on the airports and in the train or so, and I was sending it to him, yes.
And he sent you his drafts of novels?
Yes, yes, certainly. He sent me also the books they published in Toronto, and they were paperbacks, so the only thing I could do was to rip off the cover and get some cover of an innocent American detective story, crime story, or something like that. I put it into my baggage, and I was lucky enough. The officers were not so much interested in crime stories. So.
You mentioned traveling for Supraphon. Did you get to meet any of your jazz heroes on your travels?
Oh, yes. Well, it was not only for Supraphon I was traveling, because in 1968 we founded the first European Jazz Federation and then International Jazz Federation, which became a member of UNESCO. UNESCO was an organization which was recognized by the government here. So that got me to a lot of festivals. And I met in 75, it was right on my birthday in March, yeah. I went to a concert in Bergamo where Jerry Mulligan played, and after the concert we sat in a cafe or wine restaurant somewhere and got to talking, and then he asked me after some time, well, where exactly did you come from? Which country did you come from? I told him Czechoslovakia. He said, well, that's unbelievable. Half a year ago, I didn't know very much. I didn't know practically that such a country existed. Then a book came into my hands telling the story of young musicians playing this music in 1944 or 1945, and I suddenly discovered that these young people in Czechoslovakia played exactly the same kind of music like we, and thought in the way which we thought, and talked in the way we talked about everything, about life, about girls, and so. So if you perhaps know the author, well, give him my best regards.
And this was The Cowards by Škvorecký?
Yeah, that was The Cowards, yeah.
Did many international jazz stars come here? I know, for instance, Louis Armstrong played here at Lucerna.
Yes, Louis Armstrong played here 9 concerts, which was quite unusual. He never stayed so long in a city like that. And Lucerna was packed, overfilled all the time. And I was serving as his guide practically for those 10 days. We went to Prague Castle too. We visited the picture gallery there with the pictures of all the Czech kings and counts and nobility. And there was a girl guide who spoke decent English. So she explained him everything and named all the names. So he turned to me. I said to me, "She knows them all." And then when it went on and on, and there were a lot of other names which he didn't know, of course, he turned to me again and said, "Why the hell don't they have George Washington in here?"
What was he like? His image, of course, was as a real gentleman.
Yes, certainly. But, of course, all the people who came here were rather cautious, because those were the socialist, the communist countries, and probably they were warned by their managers or so. So, he was very, very polite and tried to please everybody, but you could see that he's keeping on his guard, you see.
You're 88 years old now, but your most recent book came out only 6 months ago. Yes. Are you still working?
I'm writing the reviews for Mladá Fronta Dnes or for Harmonia, which is a music monthly or so. And I'm doing some radio programs still from time to time. But I don't think I'll have enough energy and enough material to write a book again, because this is probably my last book, really.
One final question. You've been listening to jazz for, I guess, 70 years, more. Have you changed as a listener in that period? Do you listen differently?
Just because I was in touch somehow with the music, with jazz, and with the way it's changed. So I was trying to keep really in contact with the music all the time. And here I differ from very many of my contemporaries, because for them, jazz was the music of their youth. That was swing and partly perhaps, let's say, bebop, but they don't go in their taste any farther than that. Yeah. As I was doing these things professionally, I had to keep in touch with them. And some of the things which are happening now, I like very much. Yes. So, and besides, I have it at home. You see, I have a grandson who is the first in our family who really plays music professionally. So, of course, I am in touch with that, what is happening now.
Lubomír Doruška, whose grandson is the renowned jazz guitarist David Doruška. His son Petr Doruška is also a music journalist and will be familiar to many Radio Prague listeners as the voice of the music program Magic Carpet, which he presented for several years. And I'm afraid that edition of One on One has brought us to the end of today's program from Prague.